This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have music from Gisela Kroll.
A special mental health feature on bitterness.
A devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley.
And more.
Come along with us. Good morning and happy Friday, friends. Welcome to Wake Up With Hope on the first day of the weekend.
Friends, have you ever walked into an elevator and noticed everyone is quiet or busy on their phones and simply minding their own business?
Yeah, it's a common occurrence in today's time. But today we want to challenge you. It's National Talk in an Elevator Day. That's right. You know, it's a day to break free from silence in elevators.
Wow. And if you step into an elevator today and break the silence, greet everyone inside and maybe even share a fun fact with them.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a joke.
No, a fun fact. Elevators have been around since 200 BC.
BC.
I had no idea. 200 BC.
Wow.
So while you're at it, you can even share this program with them. Simply share our website, hopetv.org/wakeup.
Wow. BC.
Yeah.
I guess you could say Elijah used an elevator to go up to heaven, didn't he?
Well, maybe
you could
argue
that.
A little far, maybe. Right. But anyway.
Well, we can't wait to share the hope of Jesus with you here today. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1775, the U.S. postal system was founded by the Second Continental Congress, appointing Benjamin Franklin as its inaugural Postmaster General. Franklin's leadership established the groundwork for numerous elements of today's postal services. We've come to take it for granted, as it is now a normal, regular part of our life. We mail gifts during holidays or special occasions. We mail birthday and thank you cards. We place orders on a regular basis and expect to receive them. While electronic gifts and messages have become increasingly popular and are appreciated, there is no question that personal touch of receiving a package by mail is a feeling that cannot be replaced by electronic gifts.
You know, personal touch is so important for us as human beings. You know, hugs, smiles, real life conversations are things that we all crave. And of course, the God who created us knows this. That is why He Himself gives us a personal touch to salvation. Have you ever stopped to wonder why Jesus was the one who came and died for us? You know, surely He could have sent an angel to come and die for us. But no, the Creator Himself put His own life on the line. He came to show us His way. He came to suffer and die for us. You know, He added the personal touch of His own self-sacrifice to show us that we are worth even the life of the Son of God.
Amen. Well, this morning, friends, we have Gisela Kroll joining us as she inspires us through song. She sings the song, Sometimes.
I don't know what you think you might know, but you gotta know it's not worth. I carry around the weight of the world. It's not a burden. Walk by faith, not by sight. But Lord knows how many times with me He's tried. But sometimes I get it right. By faith,
A marine VHF radio is like a lifeline that can be used to call for help in an emergency. What can we do in our times of distress? Let's find out on today's episode of Bible and Christian Living.
Having the right safety equipment on your boat is really important. One piece of equipment all boats should have is a VHF radio. This allows you to communicate with other boats and your local Coast Guard. When you're on the water, it is important to let your local Coast Guard know about your trip and how many people are on board. One of the features of the Marine VHF radio is they use a unique number to call other radios, which work like a mobile phone. There is one feature though, which is my favorite. It's a little red button because it activates a distress signal. But unlike a normal call using a specific number, this emergency button calls every other radio in range at the same time to alert them that you're in trouble. So if you're going out on your boat, remember to have an active VHF. It can save your life in an emergency. If you only have a mobile phone, then you can only call one person when you're in distress. But the little red button allows you to communicate your distress immediately to all other radios within range. One day, while I was out on the water, I couldn't get my engine started. I felt so helpless, and I was outside phone range. But you know, the comforting thing was, I could call the local Coast Guard. I knew they'll come to my aid, and they did. That's why I'm standing in front of you today. This VHF reminds me of the Bible story of Jeremiah. He had been thrown into prison for teaching people about God, and the king was not happy about it. God sent Jeremiah a message saying, "Call to me and I will answer you." Jeremiah was in an awkward situation. God was giving Jeremiah a VHF radio and saying, "Jeremiah, use this to call out to me or pray to me, for I am here to help you." You can be anywhere in this world, and when things turn for the worse and you have nowhere to turn, remember you can use your VHF and pray to God. For He says He will hear you when you call. The good news is you don't have to go to a store to buy a prayer like you do a VHF radio. Prayer is free and you can use it anytime. So if you're in a life emergency situation, try prayer. It helped me and it can help you.
If you're enjoying our program, don't forget to visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup and share us with your friends and loved ones. And search for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us.
We have to take a short break now, but when we return, we'll have an insightful mental health feature. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
Bitterness is synonymous with resentment. Dr. Jennifer Joel Schwerzer joins us this morning to explain why we should steer clear of bitterness and how it affects us.
Our next deadly psychological sin, it is probably the deadliest: bitterness. Someone once said that bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. Often when we're hurt by another individual or group of individuals, we begin to think excessively about that situation. We suffer an emotional wound and it takes time for us to process through that. So some thinking about it is okay, but there's a certain point where we're starting to think about it too much and it begins to consume us. And we call that rumination, when a certain situation fills our thoughts. What often happens with people that have fallen into bitterness is they may end those relationships, they may cut those off, but as they move forward in their lives, because that bitterness is not resolved, they will actually find another situation that is very similar to that situation to carry on the legacy, because they have unfinished business, so to speak. We can potentially become really mean, angry, negative people through bitterness. It's very interesting. A study was done on the effect of all things, Botox on mental health. Can you believe it? Botox impacts mental health, not just because it makes people think they look better, but because those expressions around the eyes, the furrowed brow and so forth, can have a reflexive effect on our psyche, on our emotional life. So these individuals were given Botox around the eyes, and it was found that 47% of their depressive symptoms were relieved over a 16-week period. The replacement for bitterness, it's very simple, forgiveness. Let me tell you a story. In 2006, a man named Charles Carl Roberts walked into an Amish school and shot 5 Amish schoolgirls in cold blood. Then he shot and killed himself. The amazing thing about this story is that the compassion from the Amish community toward an act that would normally call forth all the vengeance and anger of human nature, the compassion actually flowed more freely than the blood. Only hours after the shooting, an Amish neighbor appeared at the Roberts home to comfort the family. Visits were paid to his widow, parents, and in-laws. One Amish man spent nearly an hour with Robert's sobbing father in his arms. Finally, 30 Amish attended the killer's funeral. One Amish man said, "I don't think there's anybody here that wants to do anything but forgive." One of the reasons people hesitate to forgive is that they confuse forgiveness with other things. Let me tell you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not excusing what that person did, nor is it approving of what they did. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. You don't necessarily have to enter into a relationship with that person. That's not always safe, not always advised. Forgiveness and trust are related, but they are not the same thing. Separate forgiveness out from those things and define forgiveness clearly in your mind. Forgiveness is you releasing your right to hurt that other person the way that they hurt you. Now, we could argue that nobody has a right to hurt anyone under any circumstances, but in our minds, we assume we have the right to hurt another if they've hurt us. Forgiveness is the voluntary releasing of that right. Sociologic research shows that those who understand their own sinfulness, their own capacity for hurting others, are actually measurably more inclined to forgive. So if you're having trouble forgiving someone, remember times when you've hurt another. Carl Menninger said that if he could convince patients in psych hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them would walk out the next day. When we accept that we've been forgiven, we are going to be much more inclined to be able to forgive others. See, forgiveness is a two-way street. I receive forgiveness from God and from others for the things that I've done, and I bestow forgiveness upon others. I know in some ways this way of life seems irrational. We all have this justice bone inside of us, this sense of justice, and we feel it needs to be fulfilled. But good counsel says leave that in God's hands and choose to forgive. It'll be better for your health, for your mental health, and for your spiritual life.
If you're enjoying today's program like we are, please share it with your friends. Our website is hopetv.org/wakeup.
And search for our show's YouTube and check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us. Coming up right after the break, Pastor Mark Finley would join us to share today's devotional thought. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, friends. How are you enjoying our program this morning? Send us a message on Facebook and let us know.
Pastor Mark Finley joins us now to share a devotional thought.
One of the big challenges in the Christian life is to work through certain questions that seem to us to be in conflict with the principles of the Bible. Now, let me share a couple with you. If God is so good, why is the world so bad? Why is there so much suffering? That's one of the questions that I'm asked often as I travel the world in evangelism. But here's another one, and this is the second one I want to focus on today. Why does God allow wicked leaders to rule and at times kill millions of people who are innocent. Why are there so many wicked despots in the world? Why are there so many wicked autocratic leaders in the world? Now, Proverbs kind of slaps us in the face. Proverbs kind of shocks us with what it says, and so we need to unpack it. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. What's this talking about? What it's saying is this. God is sovereign. And in spite of what is happening on earth, the sovereign God is still in control. Now, let me give you some examples of this. Take Joseph's experience. He's betrayed by his brothers. He's thrown into a pit. He goes into the palace to be a servant. He is wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife and ends up in prison. So how do you explain God then? But ultimately, Joseph interprets the dreams of the baker and the butler. Joseph ends up in Pharaoh's court, and Joseph interprets the dream of 7 years of plenty and then followed by 7 years of famine. Although Joseph was in a pit, was God still in control then? When Joseph was in the palace and in prison, was God still in control then? Did God see the end from the beginning? And did God plan to put Joseph where he was to save the nation of Israel or Jacob's sons and the Israelites at that time? He did. God had a plan to save his people long before Joseph knew about the plan. Take Moses' experience. When Moses, when a decree went forth that these Jewish babies be killed and Moses is in a little basket, take Moses' experience. He's brought up in the courts of Egypt. He flees into the wilderness after he kills a Egyptian. You know, he flees. He's there for 40 years. And you can almost hear Moses saying, it's just a waste of my life. I've been educated in the highest education in the courts of Egypt. Moses was a historian. Moses was, he knew geography, he knew war, but yet he's out there herding sheep. But was God still sovereign? And was God going to use that to have Moses lead his people out of the nation of Israel, the nation of Egypt? He was. And you take Daniel, you know, a young man, he's captive, 17 years old. He has an experience in Babylon. And what happens then? He takes 3 years in the University of Babylon, purposes in his heart to serve God, and God uses that to put him next to Nebuchadnezzar, and ultimately Nebuchadnezzar is converted. You see, in spite of despotic rulers, in spite of autocratic rulers, God's still in control. And God opens the hearts of these rulers and these political leaders through the influence of his people. Now, sometimes that influence is through personal contact. Other times that influence is through prayer, where God's people pray. And as God's people pray, the circumstances change. You think of the Battle of Dunkirk in the Second World War, where Hitler's panzer divisions of tanks had driven the Allied forces right to the English Channel. But all up and down in country churches and city churches, in the evenings, the lights were on, or the churches were darkened. But people were praying, is the point. People were praying, and as they prayed, Hitler made decisions to slow his attack down. And you had the great invasion of Dunkirk when the Allied forces evacuated their troops to save an army of tens of thousands. You see, the hand of the Pharaoh, the heart of the Pharaoh is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns wherever he wishes. Now, sometimes these rulers sense divine influence, but sometimes they have absolutely no knowledge at all. The key fact is this: God is sovereign. Let me share with you an amazing experience from here in the United States. In the United States, there was a war called the Civil War. Now, no war is civil, a war between the North and the South. The first battle of that war was the Battle of Manassas in July 21, 1861. General McDowell led the Northern forces, the Federal forces, about 32,000. General Beauregard led the Confederate forces that day swelled to about 22,000. The battle raged all day. Northern forces were attacking. Southern forces were attacking. And immediately, though, as those forces approached one another, and we don't know why this happened in the history books, but from divine history, we know why it happened. History books have a hard time explaining it. The battle has raged all day. As the North and South approach one another, something unusual happens. There's confusion. Confusion in the ranks. The Northern forces retreat, and they're gone. 2 weeks after the battle, Ellen White, whom Seventh-day Adventists told to have prophetic guidance from God, has a vision. And in that vision, she sees an angel come down and confuse the soldiers so that the Northern soldiers will retreat. And she says, this is why. See, often people say to me, where's God in the midst of battle? Where's God in the midst of struggle? She says, there are two reasons why that happened. Number one, these Federal forces were young recruits. Abraham Lincoln had people come from the farms, from the factories. They were young men, 17, 18, 19, some as young as 16. And they signed up for 90 days because they thought the war was going to be over quickly. 90 days. Had they won the Battle of Manassas and marched further south down to the capital at Richmond, thousands more would have died. So what did God do? He intervened by sending the angel. Secondly, there were many pro-slavery people in the North, not only in the South. And God allowed the North to lose that battle to punish the North for their pro-slavery position until the North would take a position against the heinous, terrible crime of slavery. But what does all of this show? What does the story of Daniel and Joseph and Moses show? What is the story that I just told you show, and how does that illustrate the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord? That in the midst of human conflict, in the midst of human strife, in the midst of war and dust and turmoil, God is still sovereign. We can walk out today with hope because God is in control of this world.
Thank you, Pastor Finley.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope today. Now, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow. Gia and her team will join us to make easy lentil stew. Dr. Narada McKibben will share health news. And Sivasa Laupati and Jacqueline Jewell will share a song with us. Plus, our friends from the Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a powerful devotional thought. We can't wait to see you right here tomorrow. And if you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed with you in mind.
Again, that's hope.study. You will be blessed and very encouraged. And before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31.
God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord.
Amen. You know, Jesus is an incredible gift to each one of us. Yeah, you better believe it. Let us boast in this amazing gift today. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, when we think about what you give us, so undeserving, so merciful, so loving, we are overwhelmed by the reality that we are so loved by you. And we pray, Lord, that as we go about our day, that we would remember this reality. And may we boast in joy because we belong to Christ. We know who we are in you. So, Lord, thank you for the wonderful content, the wonderful hope that we receive today May we carry it with us throughout this entire day. In Jesus' name, amen.